this time. For I'm afraid of what I will discover inside.
Wow.
Yeah, we're back.
I'm still tripping over Noah, yeah, man.
Wow. Guitarist extraordinaire.
That gospel song got me, man. I don't know what it was, a combination of the lyrics. It was a combination of the playing and...
Well, yeah. and frankly, the conversation. And I'm going to go all corny on you and the community. Seriously, that, I mean, honestly, we kind of commiserated here together, yeah, in a way. And his music allowed us to do that. And I don't know. That's a beautiful thing, man. I'm definitely going to be connecting with him and seeing if we can actually do maybe a similar thing for face to face.
Yeah.
And get him on my show. And
you know, it's yeah, I don't know what.
Ready to fly.
I'm still thinking about that song. Yeah, it was. You mean Drew and I, and I mean the girls and the interns, everybody. I don't want to say get jaded, because that's not the right word. But
do you mean
see Kristen, a lot of
Amy and Alex? Is
yes,
that who you mean?
Yes, yep. And. And you know, you get. I don't want to say, like I said, I don't want to say jaded, but you see a lot of really good performers, and you kind of like, okay, good, good, good. You know, that's nice, but that's going to be a standout for me. Like, I think in a last
that's
a long
cool.
time
oh,
that it's
cool.
happened that I just went, wow.
Yeah, great Leonard Cohen story too.
Yeah. I love how he says, yeah, my friend's with Leonard.
Everybody's
and someone said,
poet.
Yeah, everybody's a poet.
Everybody's
whatever.
A poet. So our next guest, David O'Leary, he is, I think we've got him online.
And, I think
and
so,
he's
yes.
He's a consultant. He's an investment specialist. He's worked on Bay Street. And I want to talk to him about his new podcast called Impact Investing, and he works with World Vision. There's a social innovation challenge coming up that we're going to talk
awesome.
About, I think, a little bit. But he wants to help Canadians manage their money in a way that matches their value. And I know you're incredibly wealthy, Tim, so we can go pretty deep
on
that.
I'm the opposite. That's why I need to listen to this.
And we're just going to talk about why he does what he does. So I think David is here. David, are you on the line?
I am. I'm here just quietly listening.
Wow. Wow. I can't believe you haven't interrupted me yet. That's fantastic.
It's unlike me, I know.
It's so unlike you. Thanks for joining us today on the Drew Marshall Show, or as it's now being affectionately referred to, the David Peck Show.
Right.
We're going to have to come up with a much better title, I think. But David,
well, maybe after a day, it can be called the Dave O'Leary Show.
The Dave O'Leary Show. Hey, any relation to that guy on Dragon's Den?
Oh, thankfully, no.
Okay, good, good. All right. Well,
a little bit like, I don't know, do you guys know the movie Office Space?
I do know the movie Office Space. Mike Judge.
Michael Bolton has this, there's the character, like the character in the movie, his name is Michael Bolton, and he hates the fact that it's because the movie takes place in the early 90s. And anyway, yeah.
Isn't that the film?
Michael Bolton, and he hates Michael Bolton.
Isn't that the film where somebody goes like postal with a baseball bat on a printer?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Mike Judge, it's of Beavis and Butthead fame.
So tell me
a little bit about why you do what you do. You work with World Vision, and tell us about the Social Innovation Challenge as well. We had chatted about that briefly. I'd love to hear that, because I think there's some listeners out there that actually might want to apply to that. That's pretty cool and pretty fascinating. But you went from sort of Bay Street, you met this, you fell in love, and that changed your life in a way that made you aware of the rest of the world. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, that's a really good way to say it. It sounds incredibly unoriginal, right? Another boy meets a girl who changes his world. But yeah, that's exactly what happened. My wife works for World Vision. She's a nutritionist, nutrition technical specialist, if you want to be precise. And she goes out and basically saves lives in various parts of Africa and the developing world.
So you were at the time, you were actually making a lot of money for other people, I suppose, on Bay Street. Is that kind of how you would describe that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an easy way to sort of put it, for just to give a quick and dirty. I mean, I was in the business of evaluating professional money managers. So these are kind of at a high, at a institutional level, who are the individuals and teams of people who get hired to run money on behalf of others. So you think about pension managers or managers of mutual funds or ETFs, and that were these were the individuals I would evaluate to say whether they were doing a good job of managing money on behalf of their investors or not. So there's a noble aspect to it. A lot of the money that these people are managing belongs to hardworking Canadians, and so helping to keep them honest and hold them accountable for producing good results at a reasonable cost for their the owners of those assets, that is a noble and I think endeavor. At Morningstar, that was the company I worked with, had a really strong mission to speak up for the investor who, you know, didn't speak up for themselves or didn't have the voice or power to speak up. So there was an aspect to it. But, you know, next to my wife, who's spending her time in, you know, rural right. Parts of Africa saving lives, it felt a little incomplete.
Connected, but incomplete. What? Yeah. Tell me what boxing, the comma, and investing have in common.
Oh, that's a good question. You know, interestingly, I think they don't have much in common. That's kind of the point. I consider myself a bit of a polymath. I think that's a I don't want to flatter myself, but I like a variety of lots of different interests, and I enjoy the process of learning, right. and sort of testing myself in different avenues and endeavors. And so I think those things really draw on different, really different mindsets and aspects. So I think maybe that's it. I'm sure there's probably some deep psychoanalyze, but I'm sure there's something.
You've got your undergrad is in English, and you're a boxer, are you not? Or you formerly were? You used to sort of actually spar.
Yeah, I say that lightly. I did some amateur boxing in Canada and some in South Africa. I spent 4 years living there, and so I've had a love affair with boxing for my my whole life. I grew up watching it on TV. My grandfather boxed professionally. So, but relative to the boxing world, no, I'm very much an amateur, and even an amateur is a generous term for what I am.
Right. It's such a, I love metaphor. I love symbol and boxing to me. I mean, I actually don't really appreciate the sport at all. I can sort of, I can get into the precision of it, I suppose, and so on, but just two people beating each other to death in a ring, there's just something about it that doesn't appeal. Impact Investing, new podcast that you've launched recently. How is that? I mean, obviously it connects in title and tone, I suppose, but how's that going, and where can people find out about it?
Yeah, it's going great. I'm about to publish the fourth episode. I've recorded a bunch more and just have to get through the editing. It is a work in progress. I view it as people joining me for the learning journey that I'm on within impact investing. It's an entirely new field that, you know, is maybe, you know, 10 years old ballpark. We could debate when that exactly started, but it's very, very new. And so I think all of us in the industry, myself included, are learning. And so while I'm learning and while I'm discovering these lessons and coming to these understandings, I figured I'd just kind of open a window into that for other people.
David, what is it? I mean, I think, in title, you can sort of, you get a sense for what it is. Obviously, you're investing in something that's going to make, you know, it's going to have some sort of, I suppose, an innovative impact of one kind or another, you know, in the community or whatever the case might be. But how do you define it in such a sort of a new world?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're all still figuring out these definitions. The way I would describe it is when the purpose behind your investment is more than just the return that you can generate, I think you start to enter the spectrum of impact investing. Mm-hmm. And it is very much as a spectrum. So you can go all the way from, I think it ranges from, hey, investing starts where you say, I want the best return I can get for my money and for the risk that I'm going to take. Impact investing says there's this extra dynamic that's now in the equation, not just risk and return, risk, return, and impact. And now the only question at the spectrum of impact investing is, how much do you care about impact, and how much time, effort, energy, and how much risk are you willing to take in order to get impact, and potentially return, are you willing to sacrifice to get impact? I want to make a point really clear. It's not necessarily true that you will sacrifice any return to generate some positive impact, but you might, depending on what you might happening and what type of impact you want to have in the world.
Is this people, planet, profit?
Yeah, very much in that vein. It's this recognition that, you know, I think all investing is impact investing to the extent that every investment you make has an impact on the world in some positive, negative, maybe it's relatively benign, all things told, but you can't, if you invest in a business, for instance, that business operates in a community, it employs people. That has an impact in lives, on the earth, on the economy, and the environment. It's a recognition that is true. And for a long time, the finance communities had this, you know, really narrow viewpoint that maximizing shareholder value is your sole objective when you're in finance. And that's just quite frankly crazy.
Just before we talk about getting me free tickets to the Dragon's Den, and and I want to know what an innovative market-based solution is, but sure. I want to talk about purpose too, and I guess to your purpose and how your wife played into that. And, you know, I think for me, I want to ask, oh man, so many questions, David, but you know, what is your purpose? What drives you to do this? So you say on your LinkedIn profile, you want to help eradicate extreme poverty. I mean, this is a, you know, through, I suppose, innovative market-based solutions. So choose whatever question you want to answer here. But sure. I'm really keen on finding out, what is it that drives, is this a spiritual thing? Is this an economic thing primarily? Is this about justice? Where does this sit for you?
So that's a really big.
It's huge, right?
It really is. But it's a great question. It's one I've been struggling and wrestling with for a while. The best where I'm at right now, and this is a journey of discovery for me, is that I think at the end of the day, it's spiritual. There's no question. At the end of the day, I don't think that's the conscious thing that's at the top of my mind when I'm making these decisions and doing things. So the tangible aspect of it is, and I'll sort of tell it by the way of a story, but, you know, when I was growing up, Monopoly was my favorite board game.
I love Monopoly too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a great game.
I want to, offline, we're going to talk about Monopoly strategies.
Great.
Oh, come on, Tim, you hate
I
the
did.
Game?
I did. Whenever I played, everybody else got Boardwalk and Park Place but me. I never in my life playing that game ever got those.
So I want to know, between the three of us, did you guys do that home rule with free parking where everybody put the cash in the middle, and if you landed on free parking, you won it? Because that's not a real rule.
For sure.
It's not a real rule.
I understand. Yeah, right. Yeah,
but it's a fun space to land on when there's like $1,500 in the center.
Yeah.
It's a lot like real life, David, you know?
Right. Well, so, you know, so this was the aspect. I loved that board game growing up. But what I found was, exactly the point that was just made, was it's disproportionately dependent on the roll of the dice. On the first few trips around the board, if you land on the best properties and you have an opportunity to buy those properties, like if you know what you're doing, if you're playing against any other competent Monopoly player, the first four or five rolls around the board determine the outcome of the game, and
absolutely
the luck of the roll of the dice. Like, you just buy, if you land on a good property, you buy it this indiscriminately for the first few times around the board, and if all you ever land on for the first few trips around the board is part, you know, the railroads and the utilities, you really stand very little chance of actually winning that game if you're playing against anybody else who knows what they're doing. And I really disliked that. It felt incredibly unfair to me that I could play a game, end up with no real properties that I can't even trade because the others know what they're doing, and I'm just bled and then I'm out of the game. And so what I would do is, and I didn't even connect this to my life now until like maybe a couple months ago I was thinking about this, but I would take a number of the different, if anybody would let me, I would sort of, when the game was starting, say, hey, can we do this? And I would take, you know, I'd take something like 6 or 7, 8 properties, so some of the, you know, randomly some of the best ones out of the pile, shuffle them up, and then divide them up. And so everybody got at least 2 decent properties to start, and now we've rolled the
dice. Now you're off and running. Yeah, that's the quicker way to play the game.
creating equal opportunity.
Okay.
I'm not sure equality of outcomes, because I don't think that's realistic to expect that everybody's going to have an equal outcome in life. But I sure as hell am going to fight for equal opportunity, that everybody's got the same opportunity to make a life for themselves. And so that's what poverty alleviation is about. I mean, I saw firsthand. I spent 6 weeks in Sierra Leone. It was my very first experience in the developing world. My wife helped me orchestrate it, and I saw firsthand the effects of civil war and people who just didn't have the same
opportunity. And then you wound up in South Africa as well.
Yeah. And I did a lot of traveling. My wife and I support a bunch of community-based organizations in Africa, and so I've seen a lot of it firsthand, yeah.
I really would... I do want to talk about Monopoly. By the way, St. James, Tennessee, and New York, three best properties to get. Put three houses on them right away. You're bound to win the game. But
right.
we'll discuss this at a later date. You say spiritual. Noah Zacharin, by the way, if you didn't get to hear that spot before you were on today on the show, you got to check him out. NoahSong.com. I mean, just beautiful music, a great musician full of stories. But anyway, the first song he did was Declare Your Love. I mean, is this about love for you? When you say spiritual, is this about, loving your neighbor? Is this about an embrace? It sounds like you're about equity. Can you tell me a bit about that?
I don't know. This is where I'm still, I think, discovering and on
sure.
a journey. I think that love at the end of the day is what it's all about. I think that drives all of us, whether we're aware of it or not. I think, am I consciously thinking, oh, I love all these other people and that's what I'm doing? No, it's more like the conscious part of it is, it feels really unfair to me that somebody mm-hmm. wouldn't have an opportunity and then my heart does bleed for when you see people who are struggling and don't have that opportunity, and you know, you can't help but your heart break. That increased a lot when I had kids of my own and started to really become a big softie, more than I ever had been. But it was a bit of a journey, and I think at the end of the day, the reason that infuriates me, because I get angry more than I do sad, and it motivates me when I do something. And I think that at the end of the day comes down to love.
I love the fact that you're taking your anger and turning it into anger for good. And it's prophetic, it seems to me, on a variety of levels. We got to wrap up in a couple minutes, but I so love some of the things you've touched on. I mean, we're talking about opportunity and innovation, and we never did really find out what an innovative market-based solution is, but... can people find out more about some of this stuff on your website, kindwealth.ca? Is that the best place to go, or should we just encourage them to check out the podcast Impact Investing?
Yeah, so there's a few places. Yeah, so kindwealth.ca. The podcast is kindwealth.ca/podcast. You can search for it on any podcast player, just the Impact Investing podcast. So that's a great place. World Vision, the work that I do there, our team is in the process of building out we don't have a very good web presence right now. We're in the process of building that out. So they will eventually be able to check that out. Unfortunately, I don't have a website to direct them to there. So KindWealth is probably the best place.
Yeah, well, and just as we wrap up here, David, and by the way, thanks for your time. And again, I love conversations where they don't end. You know, mm-hmm. I can't wait till we can continue this at another time. And I know you and I have talked briefly about, you know, becoming a guest on each other's podcast. So let's hope we can pull that off in the near future. Can you tell me a little bit about this social innovation challenge at World Vision and what it means for young people?
Yeah, so I'll answer your question about innovative market-based solutions and that question.
There you go. Nice. Very efficient.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm all about. So a market-based solution is how do you bring us kind of a for-profit? So when I say market, kind of the shorthand for free market approach. So where there's some sort of return or profit potential. What's in it for the person,
right.
handing over the money? And so that's what we're trying to do, is say there's only so much philanthropic capital in the world. This is capital that people are willing to give away. And we want to use that. World Vision's great at raising that and doing and using that for good. But we can say there's all this private sector capital that people aren't going to give away. But if we can use that money. Maybe they'll lend it to us for some period of time. We can use that money if we will return the money to them eventually and potentially even pay them a return. We have to be a lot more creative about how we use that money because we can't spend it. We have to give it back to them. But it doesn't mean to say you can't use it at all. We can, and there are ways to do that. So one example of that is we create this social innovation challenge where we present a problem that's occurring in the developing world. So this year's challenge is around waste in a particular community.
Around what?
Waste. Garbage.
Oh, yeah. Garbage, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's a particular community in the Philippines which has a really big waste problem. It creates all sorts of, you can imagine, problems for health problems in the communities. And so we're looking for entrepreneurs who have a business idea. They can turn that waste problem into some sort of business idea that will solve the problem and generate a profit. So you're generating a profit. You're not requiring people to continue to give you money to solve the problem.
Right. It's a more sustainable approach. It's a creative solution. Yeah. It's innovative. And they can find out more about that Social Innovation Challenge on World Vision's website?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So it's worldvision.ca, I believe, social innovation challenge.
David, I hate to cut this conversation short. I just there's so much more to dig into. Thanks so much for your time today. David O'Leary here with us today. He's a consultant. He works with World Vision as an investment specialist in a social innovation capacity. And he's the host of Impact Investing, a new podcast you can find out more about on iTunes. David, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. So it's been a blast.